And let's choose to worship Jesus today. Amen. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. I choose to praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and sing. I count on one thing. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high. Church family, we have five that are following Jesus in baptism this morning, and this is Braxton Knowles. Braxton, are you following Christ in baptism because you put your faith and trust in Him?
Yes, sir.
Based on that public profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Jennifer Moore. Because of your public profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Rebecca Oriolano. Rebecca, based on your public profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two strapping young men here. This is Cole Rager.
Cole, are you following Jesus in baptism because you've put your faith and trust in Him?
Yes, sir.
Based on that public profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Cole's little brother, Cord. Cord, are you following Jesus in baptism because you put your faith and trust in Him?
Yes, sir.
Based on that public profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Praise God. You may be comfortably seated. I'm Jeremiah Johnson. I have the honor to be one of your pastors here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. That was Braxton Knowles, who is on our Razorback football team for Prestonwood Sports Organization, getting baptized. That sure blessed my heart. I hope all of those baptisms have blessed you today. It's a joy to welcome you in this warm sanctuary on this cold Dallas morning. If you're visiting with us, or if you are a guest, it doesn't matter if it's your first time or if you've been a guest for a while, we want to make sure that you've taken a moment to connect with us here at Prestonwood. We hope that you will stop by Guest Central, which is located right out in the atrium. Let us know you've been visiting and you're a guest so that we can give you information and get to know you better about how you can also get to know us better and learn more about our ministries here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. Those of you that are joining us, you can also text us. You can text the word CONNECT, 74788 is the number. So you just text CONNECT to 74788, and we'd love to welcome you and share more information about how you can be involved with us. We have some very first-time visitors here, so if this is your first time, stop by Guest Central. We'd love to buy you lunch at our Sunday buffet. Now, I just met my friend Charles on the second row. He's been watching Prestonwood Baptist Church for 10 years. He learned English watching from Brazil for 10 years, our worship team. Can we give a special welcome for Charles? First time here in 10 years. Charles, I hope you'll let us buy you lunch today. He came all the way from Rio. We also give thanks to God for all of our veterans. This week at Prestonwood, we hosted over 400 veterans. We have a slide for you to put up on the screen. We thank God for all of the men and women who have served our country. 400 veterans joined us. We had lunch. Evangelist Tim Lee shared. We had a commemorative coin that was given out. It was a wonderful time to honor our veterans, who we also honored in a special tribute at Prestonwood Christian Academy System of Schools. We honor you today as well, veterans. Thank you so much for serving our country. We love you and we appreciate you. I can't believe it, church family. We are just 6 Sundays away from Christmas Day, which is on the Lord's Day this year. Can you imagine that? 7 weeks from now, it's going to be 2023. And as I reflect this year on all the ways in which God continues to work through our beloved church, Audrey and I are asking the Lord to speak to our heart as we approach year-end giving. When we look at all the lives that are continually being changed, the tithe is the Lord's, according to Scripture. And then as we wind down this year in our own life, we ask the Lord to speak to us as we reflect on all the ways God is ministering to our family through this wonderful church. So I encourage you to do the same. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to continue worshiping. Father, we thank you today for Prestonwood Baptist Church. We thank you for friends who are joining us from as far as Rio, and others, Lord, who are here for the very first time. We ask that they would feel your presence in this place, in the family of God, where two or three are gathered. Jesus, in your name, you join us. Father, today we're going to see lives changed, souls saved, families and marriages brought closer together and closer to you. We ask that you'd anoint our pastor, Dr. Graham, as he teaches your word. Father, continue to anoint our worship team as we bring you our praises, as we worship you, as we'll see today, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you stand as we continue worshiping together?
Amen. He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Let's sing. I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song.
Stop singing your praise. who understood our fragile state. Came to us in breath and clay.
Only Jesus,
who took no honor as a king.
Only Jesus,
who walked his love out on our streets. Guides the wind and tames the sea.
Only Jesus,
whose very name makes demons flee.
Only Jesus,
who raised the lame to dance again. Shame, yet won't condemn.
Only Jesus,
the way, the truth,
the breath of life, the Lamb of God, our El Shaddai. One name shall rise on every tongue. Only
Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. Only Jesus, Jesus only. This is the theme of our message series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Thank you, Michael Neal, for singing it, for writing it. Michael's songs are always so Christ-centered, Jesus exalting, and all of our music and great choir. We were packing out the choir this morning, really strong congregation, both services, and so welcome to the second half this morning. We had a winning first half at the 9:30 service, so let's finish strong. How about that? Take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. The Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. And just in case you may not know, or maybe you're a guest here, what we do at Prestonwood is preach Christ and teach the Bible. We are explaining and expounding and experiencing God's Word together. So I always encourage you to bring a Bible to church. If you didn't bring one, there's one in the pew rack in front of you, and you can just reach there and find it. We'll support some of the scriptures on the screen, but truly, you'll get so much more out of the message if you will bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, go to Guest Central after this service, and we will be glad to put a Bible free of charge in your hand, or go to the bookstore. There's a great selection of Bibles there. The title of this message is Gospel Conversations. Gospel Conversations. The way we engage people in personal evangelism, our witness of the gospel, is through normal, natural conversations of which Christ ends up being the subject. And Jesus, who is the greatest soul winner of all time, of course, gives us an example of how we are to talk to people about eternal life, matters of the soul, matters of the faith, and engage people in an opportunity to know what it is to experience Christ in their lives. Gospel conversations. And you saw an evidence of it this morning in the baptism. Scott Seal was telling me the story of the Rager family. And about 4 years ago, they became baseball buds, dads, and the boys were playing together. And so they used something very normal, baseball, to get acquainted and just in the mix. Began to talk about life and about parenting and about things of faith. And Scott was able to share this with Mr. Rager. And so it went on. And then COVID hit. And the Rager family, Scott sent them a link to our service during COVID. And they began watching. And they've watched for the last 3 or 4 years online. And as a result of just talking faith and sharing life together through a gospel conversation, the priorities of family and faith and so on. Today, those two young men were baptized as a testimony of the faith of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? But that's how it happens. This is how it happens. I know some people get uptight, the upright get uptight about evangelism, and at times are fearful about sharing the faith. We all experience that. There's the nerves that are involved, and we don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. But the fact is that God has called every one of us, Jesus has commanded every one of us to share our faith in Jesus Christ. It's too good to keep to ourselves. And so we are always looking for opportunities to invite people to know Jesus. Again, it happens normally, naturally, not with gospel guns, but in normal routines of life. We have these conversations, and Jesus is the example. When we follow in Jesus' steps, he teaches us how to evangelize. And what we have in the passage today in these conversations with Jesus is Jesus showing us how to do this. And there are many big points and practical points as to how we also can follow in his steps and share our faith with people, even people far from God. Now, this is a long passage, and I thought about it a while and just skipping around, but I want you to read it all with me from verse 4 to verse 42, because it's an exciting passage. It's an extraordinary passage of Scripture. We told you previously that in the New Testament, the Gospels, there are only 26 days recorded in the life of Jesus. Of his 3 years of ministry, Of his 33 years on earth, there are 26 days, and really parts of days, that are given to us in the Bible. And yet in 26 days, Jesus changed the world. And he changed your life and mine as we put our faith in him. So this is a long day and it's a long passage, but it's certainly worth the read. So beginning at verse 4 of John 4, stay with me. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is, high noon, 12 o'clock. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The boys had gone off into town to find the nearest Starbucks. They were looking for the HEB. So they're in there buying food, groceries, in this little town called Sychar in Samaria, the region of Samaria. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water?" This is now dripping with sarcasm and suspicion. "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers," changing the subject, "says, worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem, that is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Imagine that, the God of heaven, the Father, is desiring and seeking true worshipers. God is on a search for those who will worship him. And to worship God is the meaning of life. So to worship in spirit and truth. And verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." Both Samaritans and Jews were looking for a Messiah. Jesus said to her, and this is a key verse in all the Bible, "I who speak to you am he." Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone else brought him food to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. And look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white unto harvest. Good word for Prestonwood today. Look up, look around, for the fields are ripe and ready for a spiritual harvest. For he says, this is verse 37, the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. We do this together, church. Some sow and some reap, and that is the lesson Jesus is teaching us here. And many Samaritans from that town, verse 39, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Jesus is bone tired, exhausted, weary, weak. After a full day walk, probably 15 to 20 miles, it's the heat of the day, he's tired, he's exhausted. So in his humanity, he sits by this well. Jacob's well is still there to this day. He sits by this well and he's waiting for the woman to arrive, because you see, this was not a chance meeting, circumstantial. This was on his agenda all along, because the scripture says he had a need to go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria. He could have gone the coastal route, another way around Samaria, because as noted in this passage of Scripture, Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, who were considered outcasts and half-breeds. It's not politically correct, but that's the way they were viewed. But Jesus was on a mission. And what is the mission of Jesus? We know that by now, I trust, if you've been with us. He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is the Savior of the world. So whether Jews or Samaritans, people in the group or outside of the group, Jesus came for all who would trust in him. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All the world and everyone in it. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. And they come to me. And there's no name given among men in the book of Acts, we're told, but the name of Jesus whereby we must be saved. The only way to be saved from our sin is through Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can save. Sin is man substituting for God. That's what sin is. But salvation in Jesus Christ is God substituting for mankind. And in just a moment, when we drink of the cup and eat of the bread at this communion service, we will remember what Christ has done as our Savior and as our Lord. We have a Savior, and he is a greater Savior than you can possibly imagine. What a great Savior. It was John Newton who wrote Amazing Grace. He was a preacher, formerly a slave driver, a trader in slaves. Gloriously, majestically saved by God's amazing grace. Once was blind, but now I see. Late in his life, he was nearly blind. And he said, here at the end of my life, I know two things for sure. That John Newton is a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. He is the Savior of the world. And he came for everyone who will trust in him. So when we think about sharing this message with others. And that is the gospel, how that Christ died and rose again, that we might have eternal life. So when we think about sharing that, how should we do it? How can we do it? Knowing that we all are commanded and commissioned by Jesus to tell this story. Well, one, I would say, is look for divine appointments. Look for opportunities that God has ordained in your life. Paul asked the believers of the first century, he said, pray for me that God would give me an open door. So one thing we should all pray for each day is open doors to share the gospel of Christ, because all around us are people, if we are observant, who need the Lord Jesus. Now, this woman was not that good of candidate, not that great a candidate for salvation. She was an outcast. She was a Samaritan. She was a Samaritan woman. And she was a sinful woman in that she was adulterous. She had been married 5 times. She was shacking up with the man she was with at the time. Can you imagine this young woman at one time, she went into that first marriage and it was everything she had dreamed for, everything she had hoped for, had all the dreams of a young bride, and then that ended, and then another marriage, and then another marriage, and then another marriage, and then another marriage, and now she gives up on marriage and just moves in with some guy. So her life is no doubt filled with shame and sin. She's an immoral woman. She's stigmatized. You know why she was out there at this well at the middle of the day instead of at the dusk evening of the season or of the day? It was because nobody else wanted to hang with her. She didn't want to be around the other women. She had known the sneers and the stares. So she just went by herself to get the water. You've heard of the good Samaritan that Jesus talked about. This woman's the bad Samaritan. And she's a broken woman, stigmatized by her sin, and she's not expecting Jesus. She's not seeking Jesus. Quite the opposite. She didn't know who he was. Who knows what she was thinking about? Here's another man talking to me. Nicodemus in the previous chapter, and we'll get to Nicodemus later on in our conversations with Jesus in this series. We'll do it right before Christmas. We'll get Nick at night. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he was seeking and he wanted to know who Jesus was. He knew Jesus. He had seen the miracles, and so he asked him questions, and so he was a seeker. And this woman, this Samaritan woman, she was not seeking Jesus. She had questions about God and questions about worship. She was a religious woman of sorts, and yet she had no clue as to who Jesus was. Jesus begins talking to this woman. Now, that's unusual in itself. The disciples were surprised to see it. And Jesus breaks down barriers, which is another thing we do when we share our faith. He breaks down racial barriers between Jews and Samaritans, the prejudice. He breaks down cultural barriers. He breaks down gender barriers. Because a rabbi, as Jesus is called a rabbi, the teacher here, would not be caught dead or alive talking to a woman in public. The bruised and bleeding Pharisees, have you ever heard of them? If they saw a woman coming down the street, they would hide their eyes, and they were called the bruised and bleeding Pharisees because they kept running into walls because they couldn't see. Very religious. But here's Jesus just tearing down all the traditions and all the barriers. And he's talking to this woman. When we were in Washington, D.C. several years ago at a prayer event, Deb and I were seated. And we were in the Rose Garden, actually. And it was the day of national prayer. And we had assigned seats. And I was sitting in this particular chair. And Deb was seated next to me. And next to her, there was assigned a Jewish rabbi, a very Orthodox Jewish rabbi. So when he comes in with his cohorts, he sees that he's required to sit next to a woman, my wife. He throws an absolute fit. No way is this man going to sit next to a woman who is not his wife. So we had to start rearranging things where Deb could sit somewhere else. I think I moved over and sat by the guy myself. And he was a good man. I became friends with this fellow, but he's just illustrative of the whole attitude that Jesus had experienced in his day. So as a rabbi, he's not going to sit with a woman. He's not going to talk with a woman unless he's on a greater mission, and he is. He sits with her, and he talks to her. So I think the best question we could ask right now is, what would you have done? Would you have sat with her and talked with her? Or would you have written her off as a woman, wanton and wicked, immoral and disgusting and broken? We need to remember that people who are not like us, who don't fit our traditions, these are not, who may not, coming off an election, who may not have voted like us, these people are not the enemy. They are the mission field. Jesus loved people, broken people. And do you know what? We're all broken. Nicodemus was broken. He needed to be born again. This bad Samaritan, this woman at the well, she was broken as well. And she desperately needed Jesus. But Jesus broke down all these barriers. Why? Verse 42, I emphasized it when we read the story. Jesus is the Savior of the world and everybody in it. I like to say that I am just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who will save anybody who will put their trust in him. That's our Savior. The gospel of Jesus is not for an exclusive few, an elitist religious group. Anyone and everyone in the world is a candidate for salvation in Christ. All people are lost and need Christ. All people, therefore, deserve the love of people who say they follow Jesus. This was seeking Jesus. She was not seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking her. So we're looking, we're always praying and asking God to give us opportunities for those divine appointments in our lives, where God sets it up, if we can just see it. Unfortunately, you drive by so many churches and you can hear the music of the sounds of silence. Talking but not speaking. And the sounds of silence, sometimes, you know, silence, they say, is golden. No, sometimes it's just plain yellow. We're silent, sinfully silent in the face of so many opportunities around us, who people who need the Lord, our own family, our own relatives, our own associates in business and school, and our own neighbors all around us, and then perfect strangers that God sets up for us to know. And when we're involved in various clubs or sports or church or things or your workout facility, all around us, we need to make sure that we are engaging with people who need the Lord, that we don't just huddle up in holy huddles. So ultimately, Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah in verse 26. We noted that when we read it. Of all the people in the world, this is the first time he actually reveals himself as the Messiah to this woman, to this Samaritan woman, to this broken woman, to a five-time failure in marriage and relationships. This is the one he talks to and says, I am the one. I'm the one you've been waiting for. All these relationships, all these earthly pleasures, that empty hole in your life, that emptiness in your soul, he says, I'm the one. Because he goes on to say, if you would just ask, out of your life will flow living water. Verse 10. The subject is living water. And in witnessing and sharing our faith, the subject is never us. It's always the living water. Who is the living water but Jesus our Lord? He said, give me a drink. Jesus is breaking the traditions, the rules. He's relating to her. He's talking to her. And he uses something common. They're at a well. They're drinking water. Water is life. Everybody needs water. So he says, give me a drink. He engages her. And this is what my friend John MacArthur calls an unsolicited mercy. I like that. An unsolicited mercy. She didn't ask. He asked her for a favor, for water. And then he said, if you knew the gift of God, the free gift of God, if you just knew and you just asked, then you would know this living water. And this is all without regard to her morality or immorality. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. He says, this is a gift. This gift of living water. Who is the living water? Jesus himself. He's the subject of the gospel. This is the glory of the gospel. It is grace and more grace. Religion says do, D-O, do this or don't do that. But the reality of Jesus Christ is done, D-O-N-E. Done, accomplished, finished, what Christ has done on the cross. What we remember here today in the blood and the body, the bread of our Savior. What we remember today, this is the uniqueness and the distinctiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God came on a mission of mercy for us. That the Savior came and he extends to us this invitation. He said to her and to us, just ask. Just ask. For Paul would later say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Just ask. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Just ask. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Just ask. And what is this living water? It is salvation. The Old Testament speaks of the wells of salvation. Isaiah the prophet said, ho, everyone who thirsts, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Jesus said, come and taste, come and experience. This is whoever calls, whoever asks will be saved. Whosoever will, everyone is invited. In fact, the last invitation of the Bible, in the last paragraphs of the entire scripture in Revelation 22 and verse 17, what does the scripture say? The Spirit and the bride being the beloved church of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the church giving the invitation, giving the ask, says, let anyone who thirsts, let him come to me. Let anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me. And let anyone who desires the water of life to take the water, to taste the water of life freely. Spirit and the bride says, come. We give an invitation every time we gather like this. And we say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Just ask. Just ask. If everyone that thirsts comes and drinks, there is eternal life. In a moment, we're going to drink of the cup and eat of the bread, representing the blood and the body of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Listen to John 6:35. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. It's talking about the thirst of the soul, to fill the hole in the human soul. Are you thirsty? The wells of this world cannot satisfy. This woman discovered that whatever this world could bring her, whatever the wells of pleasure could bring her, it was never enough. Now she's broken. Now she desperately needs this water of life. We have a gathering each week for young adults and single adults and young married adults, and it's going very well. We just started it, and we're reaching a lot of younger people for Christ through this, and we appreciate the hard work that's being done. But I received a quote from a young woman by the name of Eddie, and she is saying, or maybe this is a male actually, so it's Eddie. It was a great time last night, and I would rather be there at the gathering every Thursday than anywhere else. It makes me realize that worshiping and listening to the Word of God, joining in a community of faith, having fun afterwards is what every young adult should be doing. It's better. Now listen to what is said. It's better than and fills a void that any other event, like going to a club or going to the bars or having drunken nights with friends. I hope and wish that every young adult could and will experience the same amount of fun that I do at the gathering every time I come. You see, Eddie has made the same discovery that this woman so long ago made. All the pleasures, all the fun, all the bars, all the relationship, all the highs, all the lows, none of that satisfies. But Jesus gives a drink that satisfies. He gives us bread that fills us. He is the Savior of the world and all who ask. And so when we talk to people, we look for those divine appointments. We find a bridge of conversation where we can connect with people, whatever it is. This is why we use sports here as an invitation to know Christ. It's why we light up a Christmas tree around Christmas. People like Christmas trees. Can we use a Christmas tree to point Jesus, to point to the Savior who was born, to die on a tree for the salvation of a soul? Sure, certainly we can. It's why we do what we do. So all of these bridges, we use bridges as gospel conversations and invitations to bring our friends to the one who is life and eternal life now and forever. This woman, she now knows who Jesus is. Though still questioning a bit, she runs back into the city and she tells the men in particular, the city, of what had happened to her at the well that day. She said, come meet a man that read me like a book, who knew what I had done and how I was living. You see, Jesus confronted her and her conscience with her sin. And now, under conviction, she commits her life to follow the Lord. And she goes and she tells this story. Could this be the Christ? And they all go out there to meet Jesus. And Jesus stays with them 2 days, and the entire city virtually comes to personal faith in Jesus Christ. They say, we don't believe because you said so, because now we have met Jesus ourselves and we know who he is. God used the testimony of a broken woman to bring an entire town, village, to faith in Christ. You don't have to know the answers to every question to be a witness. Just tell what Christ has done for you. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody you know. Look for those open doors. Look for those divine appointments, because the Holy Spirit will join you in that gospel conversation and help you to say what you need to say, and you can bring your friends to Christ. You can lead your friends to Christ. This is a gospel conversation. How many are you going to have this week? I dare say if you begin to pray for gospel conversations, if you begin to pray for divine appointments, your week would be full of joy in sharing your faith. Not everybody's going to say yes. Not everyone is going to exuberantly follow Jesus as this woman did in that city. But your responsibility is to share Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Gospel conversations. And if you're empty today, and you've been trying what the world offers, and you know it's not working for you, if you know in your heart that you need this living water, this salvation, you need eternal life, you're not certain that you're going to heaven, before we drink this cup and eat this bread, don't do it as a religious ritual or as a rigor of faith, but rather in the reality of a personal relationship with Jesus. Go one-on-one with Jesus today, and he will change your life. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed? Our deacons are going to serve us the bread and the cup. As they pass the elements, I would ask that you just hold it, and we'll all receive the Lord's Supper together. We're going to worship. Jesus talked about worship with this woman in spirit and in truth. The truth is Jesus. The spirit is the Spirit of God. So worship him in spirit and in truth. And as the bread of heaven and the blood of Christ represented in these elements is given to you, let this be a time of personal commitment and devotion to Christ. Lord, take now our hearts. Dwell in us, rule in us, Savior and Lord. Thank you for living water. Thank you for satisfying the deepest longings of our soul. Thank you for changing our lives. We know we didn't earn it. We know we don't deserve it. But in your sheer, unadulterated mercy, because we just asked, because we just asked you, Lord, you saved us. And by your body and by your blood, we are redeemed. So may these moments in our lives right now, with our family, with our friends, with our church, be life-changing. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, pray right now, Lord, I invite you to come into my life. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've broken your commandments, but right now, I ask. I'm going to do what you say, Lord. I'm just going to ask you for eternal life, for the gift. And I promise you, if you will ask him, he will give you this gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.